Back will start in about 30 minutes from now. This is KX419, I'll be standing by. This is Kilo X-Ray 4 Yankee. The name is Dieter in Scottsboro, Alabama. The phone connection has been made for the audio feed of the space station and school audio. So now we are just standing by and waiting for the contact to start. This is KX4Y.
KX4Y, KC7GHD, Phoenix.
KC7GHD. This is going high tech, I guess. How are you doing today? This is KX4Y.
Hey, hi there, Dieter. Good to hear you again. And yeah, this satellite passing ought to be great. I'm going to leave my note connected here for everybody out here in Phoenix that's listening. Good for you, Dieter, getting it all set up.
Okay, I appreciate you joining the party and listening in. And for everybody's information, just to make sure that we don't spoil the fun for anyone, I will go and mute everybody so that the only note that can transmit into the conference room will be the note feeding the audio, which is the note at my house. So I'd like to welcome everybody, and I appreciate your patience in standing by. Some notes have been connected for quite some time. Right now we have a total of 36 connections, so I guess we still got plenty of room for others. This is KX4Y.
Okay, you bet, Dieter, you bet. We'll stay quiet here on this end and just listen. Thanks for letting everybody know that. What I'm understanding, it's still about 15, 20 minutes away, I think. So we got about a minute we can talk here. What I'm understanding is there's a satellite feed, and we're not supposed to break in. Is that correct? Here out of this, any of the notes? Hey, appreciate it.
No problem. The way it works is that I'm taking the audio from the telephone line. There's a ground station in Hawaii that's actually making the contact with the ISS, and the school in California is connected to the telephone, and I'm connected into that telephone bridge, so I get the two-way audio, and I'm feeding that to an old-fashioned 25-year-old phone patch into my system here, because I'm connected through radios with that Echo IRLP link or node. So I'm feeding that into it, and of course, while the transmission goes into the conference room, if other people would talk, then that would kind of interfere with it, because every so often, like hopefully within 3 minutes, I have to quickly let go of the connection so that everybody's timeout timer can reset, so we don't lose anybody because of that. So that's the story on this end. And if there are any more questions, I mean, we still got about 20 minutes or so before the contact starts. This is KX4Y.
Okay, Dieter, appreciate that. Yeah, this should be pretty interesting. I'll disable my note for incoming calls here, and that way we can all just listen. Okay, Dieter, thanks again, and good to talk to you. We'll let you go in case there's any other questions from anybody else before it starts. 73's my friend, KC7GHD, Joe here in Phoenix, Arizona, USA.
Hello. 4S.
KX4Y, KX4Y, Golf Zero, Hotel Juliet Kilo.
Florida, numéro 1, Alpha Mike, Sierra, FNAMS portable, 67 appels. Foxtrot, numéro 1, Amérique, Mexico, Santiago, portable, département 67, appel écoute.
This is W9L in Pekin, Illinois. My name is Jim.
Good morning, everybody. This is KX4Y in Scottsboro, Alabama. We are getting ready for a contact, school contact between the ISS and a school in Bentley, California. The contact will start at 1647 UTC. And I appreciate everybody being patient and standing by, and it's okay to still have a conversation on this in this conference room for about 10 minutes or so before I will have to mute everybody except for the station feeding the audio in. We are connected to the telebridge, to the phone line that connects the audio between the ground station in Hawaii and the school in California. So now we're just waiting for the contact to start. This is KX4Y in Scottsboro, Alabama.
Pekin, Illinois, over.
This is KX4Y in Scottsboro, Alabama. Waiting for the contact to start between the ISS and a school in Bentley, California. And for the people listening to the EDU underscore net, I just connected that server to the AMSAT conference room on Echolink. So in case you're wondering what's going on, this is KX4Y in Scottsboro, Alabama.
Connected.
The fact is I.
This is Kilo X-ray 4 Yankee. The name is Dieter. Delta India Echo Tango Echo Romeo Dieter in Scottsboro, Alabama. And we are standing by for an ISS contact to start with a school in California. This is KX4Y, standing by.
KX4Y from RV3DHC. Could I connect Russia conference server to this one, over?
Feel free to do that. The more the merrier. Go ahead and do it. No problem with that at all. This is KX4Y.
Okay, thank you, Dieter. This is RV3DHC Anthony. Yeah, Moscow. Thank you again.
Fantastic. I wonder if you can send me an email to let me know what you did, just for information, because the more exposure we get, I think the better we are. My email is kiloxray4yankee@amsat.org. Thanks for your efforts. We appreciate it. This is KX4Y.
Okay, Dieter. I will contact you later. RV3DHC. Thank you again, RV3DHC.
This is Kilo X-ray 4 Yankee in Scottsboro, Alabama. My name is Dieter, and we're getting ready for a school contact between the Bentley School in California and the International Space Station, which will start at 1647 UTC. This is KX4Y, standing by.
Okay, guys, KX4Y.
I'm sorry, was that call addressed to me? This is KX4Y.
Amateur radio on the International Space Station. And the ISS currently is nearing the Hawaiian Islands, whizzing along at around 17,500 miles an hour. And this contact will be performed using the Telebridge Network, a worldwide network of amateur radio ground stations that enable students to contact the ISS. ARIS is a consortium of volunteers from nine nations that have developed and operate the amateur radio station on board the International Space Station. The stateside members of ARIS are the American Radio Relay League, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation, and NASA. The amateur radio ground station that will establish contact with the ISS today is WH6PN at the Sacred Hearts Academy in Honolulu, Hawaii, and it's operated by Nancy Rochelle. And thanks for getting up early to help us out today, Nancy.
You're welcome.
We're communicating through a worldwide communications network provided courtesy of MCI, and our operator today is Deb. And we're just about 4 minutes until contact time. Our school for today is the Bentley School in Oakland, California. And now let's check in with the students. Our teachers today are Brenda Harrigan and Judy Geller. And I'm going to ask Melissa Lee, the director of technology, to give just a brief introduction about the students that are taking part today.
I'm actually the assistant head of the kindergarten through eighth grade campus here at Bentley School in Oakland, California. We're all gathered here today. Bentley School is an independent school, kindergarten through 12th grade, located in the East Bay of California. We have with us a lot of students. We're very anxious and excited to talk to Dr. Chow. We have a special guest in our audience. His sister, Sandy Chow, is here as well. Thank you.
Great. Well, thanks very much, Melissa. And we're expecting and we hope for a good contact today. Nancy, we've worked with you on numerous school contacts. And before the contact begins, could you just briefly tell us about your station, where you are, and how you'll handle the conversation, please?
Okay. We are in Sacred Hearts Academy, an all-girls school. Several club members helped to prepare this this station this morning for this contact. About 30 seconds to a minute before the space station is predicted to rise above our horizon, I will begin calling. I will use my amateur call line, WH6PN, to contact the International Space Station, NA1SS. As soon as I have established contact, I will say, "Go ahead, Bentley." I would like to remind the participants to speak clearly. It is very important that each speaker say over when they are finished. The pass should last about 8 minutes. Just before we...
Then I have to stop that for a minute. I got to get ready to for the actual contact. The audio feed will continue in just a minute or so. This is KX4Y.
K4LDR be retransmitting...
As soon as you recognize the astronaut's voice, and I say go ahead, the ball is in your court. So good luck, and it's very exciting, and I'll be calling shortly. NA1SS, this is WH6PN Honolulu, calling for a scheduled contact. Do you copy? Over. NA1SS, this is WH6PN Honolulu, calling for a scheduled contact. Do you copy? Over. For a scheduled contact. Do you copy? Over. NA1SS, this is WH6PN Honolulu, calling for a scheduled contact. Do you copy? Over. NA1SS, this is WH6PN. Do you copy? Over.
NA1SS is reading you loud and clear. It's over.
Go ahead, Bentley.
I'm Emma. What is the mission of the International Space Station? Over.
Well, first of all, greetings to Bentley School. It's a pleasure to have you on board the space station today. Just wanted to say a big thank you and hello to all the students, faculty, and staff down there, as well as to my sister, Candy. And to answer your question, Emma, the maximum human capacity of the ISS right now, well, we are operating with a crew of two, but soon we'll go back up to a crew of three, and the maximum capacity after finished assembly will be 6 to 7 people. Over.
This is Sean. There are over 170 components on the space station. How heavy does the space station weigh?
John, right now the space station mass is about 200 tons, and after we finish assembly, it'll be well over 250 tons. Over.
I'm Sierra. How much spare time do you have, and what do you do for entertainment during that time? Over.
Well, hello, Sierra. Actually, we don't have all that much free time. We're usually pretty busy, but when we do have some time in the evenings or on the weekends, we mostly enjoy looking out the windows and taking pictures. However, we also have other things for entertainment. We have some DVDs and music CDs as well as electronic books. Over.
I'm Andy. The astronauts on the Gemini mission complained that the food was horrible. Many people think space food has improved greatly over the years. What's your favorite space food? Over.
Well, hi, Andy. That's a good question. Space food has been improving and continues to improve over the years. Space food is actually quite good now. We have quite a variety of menu items between the American and the Russian sides. And some of my favorites are the teriyaki beef steaks and also the mashed potatoes with onions. Over.
How is the temperature controlled on the space station? Does it ever get too hot or too cold? Over.
Well, the temperature on the space station can actually be controlled by the crew, and really what we have on board, we have a lot of equipment that generates heat, electrical equipment, and so that heat has to be transferred overboard to the outside of the station. So we can regulate how much that heat is moved to the outside to control the temperature inside. Over.
I'm Ryan. We know that during the Mir years, cosmonauts threw trash overboard in bags. What do you think you can do now to prevent space from becoming as polluted as Earth? Over.
Well, Brian, that's a very interesting question. Of course, every now and then we do throw things overboard from the International Space Station, including in the Mir years, some of the garbage. And that's really not as big of a problem as you might think, because what happens is over the course of a few days, that the garbage actually, the orbit decays and it burns up in the atmosphere. So it's really not a long-term problem. But we do have to be careful to throw things off in the proper direction at the right speed so that it will, won't come back and hit us. Over.
I'm Iman. There are no medical doctors on the space station, so what do you do if one of you gets sick or injured? Over.
A very good question, Iman. What we do is, neither one of us right now is a medical doctor, but we've both received training in emergency medicine and kind of paramedic training. We've also practiced in hospitals, so we know how to do first aid and take care of each other and do the first course of action in case of injury or sickness. And of course, there are teams of doctors on the ground we can consult with over the radio, and in the worst case, we can get in the Soyuz spacecraft and come home. Over.
You know good training is important, and you have to do things like swim 3 laps in a flight suit. What's the hardest part about astronaut training? Over.
Well, Max, there's probably no one thing that's really the hardest. You might get different opinions from different people, but I think the biggest thing about astronaut training is just how long it takes to train for a mission and being able to stick with it. For example, for this mission, Salazar and I, we basically trained for about 3.5 years together, first as a backup crew for a previous mission, and then as a prime crew. And so there's a lot of long hours there, a lot of studying, a lot of simulator time, a lot of traveling back and forth between the United States and Russia. And it's just tire you out a little bit. But so probably just staying with it is the hardest part. Over.
I'm Lena. We read in a newspaper article that twice when astronauts went on spacewalks, the space station tilted. Do you know why this is happening or how it can be prevented? Over.
Well, Lena, that is kind of a mystery. We're not really sure why on some of the spacewalks we do, including the one that Salazar and I did a few weeks ago, the space station ended up tilting a little bit. And we believe that's because of the forces that we're putting into the station while we're working. And as well, we're on the outside of the space station, we're holding on to handrails, so every time we turn bolts or have to do something with some force pushing down on the station, that causes a reaction. And so that may be causing the gyroscopes to oversaturate and having to do what we call a desaturation. Over.
I'm Matthew. When you were working for Hexel, what inspired you to become an astronaut? Over.
Well, Matthew, actually, my dream of becoming an astronaut started much earlier than when I was working at Hexel. I actually first became interested in being an astronaut when I was about 8 years old, watching the first Apollo moon landing. And so that's a dream that stayed with me ever since, all the way through college and graduate school and into my working life. Over.
Emily, where do you think look like from space. Over.
Well, Emily, of course, we were very saddened to hear about the tragedy of the tsunami on board, and we didn't actually see the tsunami, but we were able to see some of the destruction afterwards, and we took some pictures of the devastated regions, and you could see where the water had washed away all the grass, vegetation, and everything else, and it was really quite striking. We were able to get some photos of that and send it back to the Earth. Over.
Hi, I'm Sophie. What do you want to see in the future of space exploration? Over.
Well, Sophia, I view that what we're doing on the space station right now as a stepping stone. What we're doing here is we're learning about spacecraft, how to live in space for a long time, how to build more robust and reliable spacecraft, these things that we're going to need to build a station to go to Mars.
That you voted from space. How were you able to vote from space and get the signal back to Earth? Over.
Well, Evan, with the in this age of modern technology, it's actually easier than you might think. What we did was we worked out an email system where I could basically email my votes to the registrar over down in my home county there, and directly to the registrar there, and she was able to open my email using a password and then just tabulate my vote for me. Over.
Hi, I'm Taylor. How did you feel after your 5-hour and 23-minute spacewalk? Over.
Well, Taylor, after this last spacewalk, I felt just like I did during after my other spacewalks that I've done, and that is a little bit tired, very happy, and kind of very upbeat about getting things done. It's a neat feeling to a great sense of accomplishment to finish a spacewalk. Even though it's physically tiring, it's really a neat thing. Over.
Have there been any changes at the ISS since December that you can tell us about? Over.
Well, Julie, there hadn't been any changes on the ISS so much. No big changes anyway. During our spacewalk, we did install some experimental equipment outside, so we did make a few changes out there. And during our next spacewalk, in a couple of weeks, we are going to also install some equipment. So,
Bentley, time to say a group goodbye. N1SS, this is W863N73 and Aloha.